The next speaker is Shabh Gautam. He's from the ICTS in Bangalore in India, and he will speak on the ongoing efforts for evolving the Einstein field equations on hyperboloidal slices. The floor is yours.
So let me start. So hello, everyone. Thanks for the nice introduction. So I'm going to present some of our ongoing work on evolving Einstein field equations on these slices. So first of all, I thank all the organizers for giving me the opportunity to present this work. And I have been doing this work with my collaborators, Alex and Edgar, who are the postdocs at Centra, Lisboa, and my supervisors and collaborators, David and Sukant. So I'll start from the motivation why I've been interested in hyperboloidal slices. So because we want to include the functional infinity in the computational domain with the well-posed formalism. And why functional infinity? Because this is the only region we have, we can define the gravitational waves in an unambiguous way. And once we get access to Scribe Plus in our computational domain, it will also facilitate studying some of the fundamental phenomena like weak cosmic sensation conjecture, black hole formation, etc. And another reason is that there are some existing methods for extracting the gravitational wave signal at Scribe Plus, but all of them have some limitations which introduce some sort of errors. So what are these methods? One is the extrapolation method. So in this method, we introduce some initial data on a finite space-like slice and evolve it using the Einstein field equations. And as the data evolves, we collect it, let us say, at three different radial coordinates. And using extrapolation methods, we extrapolate this data to Scribe Plus. So this is how it is, but because the slices are finite, we need to give boundary conditions at the outer boundary of these slices. But we do not know in general what sort of boundary conditions will be physical. So as soon as these boundary conditions start affecting our extrapolation region, it will start making the data unphysical. So this is another sort of error. So basically we have two errors in this. One is from boundary error, one is extrapolation error. So to overcome this extrapolation error, we have a method called Cauchy characteristic extraction, which we call CCE. So in this method, we again define our data on a finite Cauchy slice and evolve using Einstein field equations. And instead of three, we collect it at a single radial coordinate, for example, which is much inside the outer boundary of these slices. And once we collect our data here, we introduce another kind of foliation using null slices. And again, using Einstein field equations, we propagate the data which we collected here to Scribe Plus. But now this method introduces two kind of errors. First of all, because we are evolving the data on the Cauchy slice and Cauchy region and characteristic region independently. So what happens is that any the data in this region, Cauchy region, becomes causally disconnected to what happens in the characteristic region. So we do not have all the back reaction corrections in the Cauchy domain. So this is introduces one sort of error, which we call the lack of back reaction errors. And another sort of error is from translating all the dynamical variables from one gauge to another. So for example, in the Cauchy region, we use some sort of gauge like generalized harmonic gauge, etc. And in the characteristic foliation, if we use boundary sets gauge, we need to define all the quantities which we collect on this radial coordinate from one gauge to another. So this translation introduces another source of error. So to eliminate the first source of error, we have another method called Cauchy characteristic matching, which is still in preparation, not fully constructed for full 3D. But idea is simple. Idea is that we concentrate on this region and define our initial data on this region in the Cauchy domain and in the characteristic domain. And we evolve them simultaneously by exchanging the data in the two region from the common boundary. So this way we take into account all sort of back reaction effects, but we still face problems of translating the quantities from one gauge to another. So this problem is not yet solved. And because of this reason, there are some indications that this method becomes ill-posed. So this is one of the differences which you can go through. So that is why we use hyperbolic slices. So what are these slices? So these are the slices which are spaced like everywhere, but meet scribeless instead of the spatial infinity. And because of which we overcome all sort of errors which we were encountering in the previous methods, which I just described. And as these slices are spaced like everywhere in the bulk, we have more gauge degrees of freedom to define them in the bulk. And as they cover the region from the origin to scribeless, they are suitable for evolving the initial value problems or initial boundary value problems where the initial data is of non-compact support. So that is why we use these kind of slices. Now the question is, once we get these slices, what to do next? So first of all, our approach is to derive a well-posed formulation of Einstein field equations on these slices. And second, to derive a discretization scheme which preserves the well-posedness nature of the discrete Einstein field equations in these slices. So the first goal is achieved by using the dual foliation formulation together with the generalized harmonic gauge. So as we all know that the Einstein field equations and generalized harmonic gauge have been proved to be well-posed by various authors, for example, Forrest Bruhat, Lindblad, and Rodinsky, and so many others. And by using the dual foliation formulation, these are the nice references for this formalism. We can decouple the choice of gauge from the choice of coordinates. So we will use the choice of the generalized harmonic gauge, but the coordinates which we will use will be the hyperboloidal coordinates, the suitable for these hyperboloidal slices. So hyperboloidal radial coordinate, hyperboloidal time coordinate, etc. So for the discretization scheme, because starting right away from the Einstein field equations will be too ambitious, we start from the simplest case of linear wave equation. And why we chose linear wave equation? Because we all know that in generalized harmonic gauge, the principal part of Einstein field equations take the form of similar to the linear wave equation. So that is why. So now another question is, once we use generalized harmonic gauge in dual foliation formulation and use hyperbolic slices, as we use the compactified radial coordinate on these slices, we get the Einstein field equations in which some of the coefficients become singular at scribe plus. So to overcome this singular nature, we need to regularize the equations. So this is what we do in this paper. So so many of us know that the Einstein field equations and harmonic gauge give a set of field equations which can be classified broadly into three categories, which we call the good, bad, and ugly fields, and denote them by G, B, and small g, and small u. And these are the sort of asymptotic equations which they satisfy. And as a result, one can calculate that the good fields fall off like 1 by r, bad fields like log r upon r, and ugly fields like 1 by r squared towards square plus. So using these asymptotic behavior of these fields, we derive our regularization scheme on these slices of representative equations on hyperbolic slices. So this is one of the numerical results. So in this plot, the hyperboloidal compactified hyperboloidal radial coordinate, which goes from 0 to 1. So small r equal to 0 is the origin, small r equal to 1 is the position of scribeless, just like here. So r equal to 0, small r equal to 1 is here. So on the y-axis, we just show the amplitude of various fields. So here we just show a snapshot of the bad and ugly fields at time, let's say, t equal to 3. We do not plot the good fields because the result is trivial. But what do we see here is that all the fields of order 1 at this time. And interestingly, all these fields remain of order 1 for as long time as we run the simulations. So this demonstrates how good our regularization schemes are. And this is another result which shows the convergence in the trivial L2 norm of the numerical errors, which converge to 0 exactly at order 2, because all our numerical schemes are second order accurate. For simplicity, we just worked in second order accuracy. And this is the convergence order at scribe plus. So first of all, why do we need to show the convergence order at scribe plus? Simply because we need to know, when we extract all of our signal like gravitational waves, etc., at scribe plus, we need to know at what rate all the errors, numerical errors, converge to 0. So here we plot the bad fields in black and black test curves at two different resolutions, and ugly fields in blue and blue test curves at two different resolutions. And as we can see that both the black curves overlap and both the blue curves overlap, this gives exact second order convergence at square plus. So this was all about the regularization scheme. Now let's come to the discretization scheme. And as I told you, we will start with a class of linear wave equations in Minkowski spacetime of this form. So where F is some potential term, and for simplicity, we work in spherical symmetry in static case where F is only a function of R and psi is a function of T and R only. So one such equation we came across in Sven Maas talk yesterday. So for this class of equations, we derive a summation by part scheme on these slices. And interestingly, this scheme assures stability by guaranteeing that the time derivative of the energy norm on these slices remains negative semi-definite for all times. And as a result, the Lex equivalence theorem tells us that consistency and stability guarantees convergence at the desired order. So this is one of the numerical results. Here on the x-axis, again, we show the compactified hyperbilateral radial coordinate from 0 to 1. And on the y-axis, we show the hyperbilateral time coordinate, which is not compactified at all. And this plot shows how a narrow pulse on the at t equal to 0 initial time slice propagates at 45 degree and leaks through sky plus. So it propagates through 45 degrees simply because of our choice of foliation. We made sure that even in the hyperbilateral coordinates, our outgoing radial coordinate light speed remains equal to 1. And we do not get any reflection of noise from sky plus simply because of our numerical scheme. It assures that there will be no noise, residual noise at sky plus. So this
you
is
have
another
three
record.
More minutes.
Oh, sorry. Okay. So and this is another plot in which we show we plot the energy norm of the continuum solution and the discrete solution. So where F is equal to zero, so the linear wave equation for simplicity, and we show that how well they satisfy, they agree with each other for long times. So this is another plot which shows how good our numerical scheme is. And this is another plot which shows the convergence order in the energy norm. And it, since we used our numerical scheme to be second order accurate, we get a second order accuracy of our numerical results. And this is the plot which is the convergence at scry. Similar as before I showed, it also shows second order accuracy at scry plus. So now let's come to the spherical Einstein field equations. So first of all, why we start from the spherical symmetry? Because first of all, it is too simple. It is the simplest case possible of studying Einstein field equations. And it is sufficient for evolving any kind of system which involves spherical symmetry, for example, spherical collapse, etc. And this will be a stepping stone to build a numerical scheme in full 3D. So in spherical symmetry and using spherical polar coordinates, this is the general form of Einstein, of the metric it can take. So GTT, GTR, GRR, and J theta, theta, these are the dynamical variables here. But sadly, if we write our metric in this form, we cannot categorize the different dynamical variables as good, bad, and ugly. And in order to do that, we need to rewrite our metric in a bit different form, in this form. So here, C plus and C minus are our outgoing and ingoing radial light speeds. Delta is another dynamical variable, and R circ is another dynamical variable which represents the area radius of the background background space time. So these are the sort of equations which they satisfy, which do not need to read. I just showed it for completeness, and these are the results. Some preliminary results, not complete results. Here we show some of the fields at scry plus, and we see that they remain of order one for long times. This shows our regularization scheme. And here we show the convergence order at scry plus for long times. And as all the curves overlap, we see that how all the errors converge at second order for long times. So in summary, we Using the asymptotic analysis, we studied the regularization scheme of a model system of equations that mimic Einstein field equations in harmonic gauge asymptotically towards chi plus. And we proposed that Einstein field equations in generalized harmonic gauge can be regularized similarly, and this is the work in progress. And in the discrete analysis, we derived a good discretization scheme on these slices for a class of linear wave equations and proposed that a similar scheme can work, can be derived for the Einstein field equations generalized harmonic gauge. This is a future plan. And we obtained some of the promising results for the spherical Einstein field equations generalized harmonic gauge. And this is the ongoing work. Stay tuned for that. Thank you for your attention and any questions or comments.
Okay, do we have questions? Piotr?
So if I remember the heroic times of Peter Hubner trying to code this, one of the main problem was the constraint equations. So it was less the evolution problem, but the constraint ones. Mm-hmm. Did you start looking at that? Did you have any problems with this?
Okay, analytically we put constraints by hand that they are always satisfied, but numerically we do not have any control over them. But what do we do is that we modify our discrete Einstein field equations by adding suitable constraints in such a way that first of all we get the desired form of Einstein field equations, and which also makes sure that any constraint violation does not grow with time.
Thank you.
Okay, next is Ishwan.
It is just an extension to the remark of Piotr. If you recall, you know, the success of Chopcik when he studied first the critical collapse, he was using in spherically symmetric time evolution, partly constrained system. So he was solving basically for the metric the constraints equations, and he evolved the matter fields. And I'm curious whether you are thinking about using some partly constrained evolutionary system in your setup for the case where you have no symmetry at all.
Okay, so far we did not think about anything beyond spherical symmetry. But even in spherical symmetry, we are so far doing a free evolution. We do not control any sort of constraint violation by hand. But in case we obtain any constraint violation, we modify our field equations in such a way that any constraint violation should decay with time rather than grow with time. So, do I answer?
Okay, thanks for the answer.
Okay. Are there further questions here? Are there questions online? If there are none, then we thank the speaker again.